Hello everyone. You know, the downside of being the last speaker of the day is that everybody else has already said what I was going to say. The upside is everybody else has said it in a lot more detail and probably better than I could say. So, like Newton, I'm going to be standing on the shoulders of everybody else before me. Not something I ever thought I'd say. What I'm going to try and do is trying to avoid a little bit of the duplication. So I'm really going to look at this very much from the author's point of view. Now, we haven't actually done an author survey yet. It's something we're looking into. But I've been talking to a lot of focus groups, talking to our researchers, to our boards, trying to get some idea of how they approach this. So I'm really going to focus on that, the sort of initial reactions from the researchers. What's interesting from the communities I work with is that they probably fit into both of the comments that both Matt and Vicky have already covered. And I'll explain a little bit about the background as to why there's those differences in attitudes and the discussions that are going on. And I'm just going to finish with some of my final thoughts, but also some of the thoughts that are coming back from the authors as well. So as I said, this is very much from an author point of view. I'll try and let you know when I'm doing it with my publisher hat on as well, okay? So I was just going to start off with the funder mandates and link it into the issues around licensing. But one thing that's coming across incredibly strongly with almost everybody I'm talking to is the confusion of compliance. What do they need to do to be compliant? And the different terminology. I never ever thought I'd talk to somebody working in quantum physics who would turn around to me and say, please stop with the jargon, I cannot follow you. That was probably a bit of a victory there, I should keep that in mind. But these are some of the concerns that are coming out, and I've picked out particularly this international collaborations. It's been picked up already today. There's a lot of concern about how the different mandates are going to work together, particularly with some of the big collaborations, some of which have actually started work on how they're going to approach this. So places like CERN have actually got publication policies in place. But what about when you've got smaller collaborations? If you've got authors that are mandated by their government to do one thing and the funders on the other side of the Atlantic are asking for something else, how does that work together? So these were some of the concerns that were coming out. The bottom part, the reduced freedom to publish, this is very much about some of the issues that were coming up in terms of non-commercial. Because some of the journals that are used with the researchers I talked to, they have very, very strong non-commercial reuse policies. So this is coming up for some of the publishing partners that we have as well, is that on first view of their governance, they can't actually apply a CC BY. They can only apply CC BY non-commercial. So there's a lot of issues around that that we're having to look into at the moment as well. And from one group that I work with, they are getting so frustrated because they feel that they already meet the open access requirements. And they're getting really frustrated that they're being told that they don't. However, whether they're compliant or not is a completely different question. And then, I won't go into this one too much because it has been brought up a lot today. It's this issue of management of plagiarism, control and ownership. So during these discussions, one of the questions I've been asking is, what do you know about Creative Commons licenses? Creative what? Is one answer. Oh yeah, it replaces copyright, doesn't it? No. Have a hazy view. Use it, not really sure what the legal implications are. That's probably one of the most common reactions I've had from one particular group. This is the other reaction. No idea, never used it. Unfortunately, one researcher I was talking to, a very eminent physicist, I then had to sit down with him and say, actually, you've been using it quite frequently for the last few years. So coming back to the question about, I think, Matt, you got asked about whether people just accept the license they come along. There is a certain amount of, oh, that's what I have to click, and that's what I have to do. And when you start talking to them a little bit more about it, there's some concerns that do start to emerge. However, again, another common thing that came out was like, right, okay, if I've understood this correctly, this just means that someone can use what I've published, build on it. Well, that's scientific research, isn't it? It's no different to what happens now. As I said, I already work in a community that shares data. Why is this going to change anything? But when you start digging down, fewer concerns here about control again and how things are going to get used. What happens if it gets used out of context and I disagree? How will it affect patent applications? It actually doesn't, but these are some of the questions that are coming up. And again, how does it link in with other copyright and licensing requirements? There is a lot of confusion about what copyright means, what licensing means. Is a government license the same as the Creative Commons license? That was another question I've had, because they're different types of licenses. But I said I wanted to step back and just examine why there's some various different attitudes that I'm coming across. A lot of the researchers I work with use preprint servers. They have done for many, many years. They use various portals. They have different ways of sharing data. The most obvious one is the archive. It has over 8,000 e-prints in all of these different fields. And the documents are loaded by the authors, and there are license requirements around this. As an example of the portal, there's the Astrophysics Data System, and this is a digital library portal for researchers in astronomy and physics. And I'll talk a little bit about the differences between the two. I don't expect you to read that, but if you can see the blue, which I think is the lighter one, I'm colourblind, by the way, so which makes it interesting with presentations. The blue is actually links to a lot of the information on licenses and copyrights and just sets out the sort of terms and conditions for posting a preprint and any other documentation onto archive. It actually asks for the non-exclusive and irrevocable license to distribute the articles. So any author posting a document onto archive has to say that they'll publish under one of those licenses. So the archive has been around since the mid-90s. Obviously Creative Commons hasn't been around since then, but a lot of the high-energy physicists, a lot of the people who work within condensed matter and maths, they use archive quite frequently, so they do click the Creative Commons license. But actually when I started asking them what it means, that was a slightly different question, and they didn't always have the answer. The astronomical data source, it's a portal, so it's a collection of different feeds. It also has the archive there. It's basically the place the astronomers work. It has a whole lot of links to different databases. So that particular community is one that's used to sharing data. I have to say that that isn't across the whole of that research community. There's some that do actually operate in a more traditional way. But a lot of the astronomers have to share data. I mean, not everybody can afford to send satellites up into space and then collect the data that comes from it. So there's a very different approach to sharing and making stuff open to the public. I mean, astronomy in particular has got a very, very strong amateur astronomy side to it as well. So there's very different attitudes from these particular groups when they look at how they make things open, how they share, how other people use it. Compared to some of the other researchers that I talked to, we're at the other extreme. This is very much more on the applied side of things. They don't tend to use archive. It tends to be in areas where you don't need the big facilities to do the research. They're concerned about people reusing the data. They're a little bit more concerned about losing that control, particularly how it's going to relate into how quickly they can convert some of this into patents. And there are certain political sensitivities that come into some of it as well. This came through in some of the researchers I spoke to in the environmental area, for example, which is where they have some real concerns about their data being used out of context and not knowing about it. However, most researchers, even after going through the various things with the Creative Commons and understanding what some of the implications are, they felt that within the research community, anyone that was going to reuse the content will talk to them anyway, that it doesn't necessarily change anything. There were concerns around the collaborations, as I've mentioned, with using multiple licenses, which one is supposed to take precedence. And then they weren't really clear about what complications might be caused by CC BY. There was quite a lot of hesitancy, or there's concern about some of the sort of unintended consequences of using it. For a group that likes to sort of think about what the possible outcomes would be, and when you start talking to them about scenarios, this is where some of the concerns were starting to come in. Who polices it? And I know that's been discussed a little bit today already, but that really is one of the concerns that's coming up. Interestingly, and not something I expected, is that there was an assumption that open access into Creative Commons means that it transfers the copyright to, it's not transferring the copyright to the publisher, that the author is then left on their own to defend any issues that come up. And that was actually quite a concern, because it was one of the things that they feel the publisher does add value and that we do defend them in this. And I was quite pleased that that was coming out quite strongly, because they do see that as a value that we provide. And again, this confusion with copyright and concern over what rights they keep and what they can do to defend it, or even what the publisher will be able to do to defend it, was coming out very strongly. And Vicky actually touched on this, and we were talking about it earlier. What was interesting that came out with one group I talked to is, well, what happens if I want to put something, a picture in? What happens if I can't get those permissions? An example of this is that, I think it was probably about 5 years ago, there was a group that developed a new tool, and effectively for imaging at atomic level. And they actually created a picture of Einstein at the atomic level, which I thought was very cool. However, and I don't know those of you that have ever come into contact with the Einstein Foundation, but his image is incredibly closely guarded. It was a significant headache for our legal department to get that sorted, and that was before the days of open access and Creative Commons. That sort of situation, I can envisage, is going to be very, very, very difficult to manage. Now, you can put different rights on, as Vicky mentioned, but how that is managed, I think, is going to be quite a challenge. And that actually came up with some of the more applied areas where they try to use things that will engage people in looking at what the research is going to be doing. So the most common question that ended coming out, that's come out of all the discussions that I've had, is whatever is going on, practically, what does this mean for me? Just tell me. And this is actually even after looking at the Creative Commons website, one group of researchers said, that's great, it's really clear, tell me what it means for me. That's really what people were asking, and which was very closely followed by, right, what are you going to do to make this clearer for me? So I think there is quite a lot of work here to do on the education side, and then also how that can then be transferred into what publishers can be doing. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Nicola. Presumably all the groups you've been talking to are all physicists?
Not all physicists, they're mathematicians, and there's a few in chemistry as well. So.